Call from the Doll on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Yeah, John Downing with me on the line for Call from the Doll. John, good morning to you. Morning to you. And we're going to start by talking about Volodymyr Zelensky's visit and his speech before the joint houses of the Oireachtas. It played out on the day that had it against the backdrop of what looks like failed talks in Moscow and continued kind of demands for Russia from territory and lands. The Irish government gave 125 million to Ukraine, pledged total support as well. We have this astonishing story as well in the aftermath of suspected Russian drones or drones operated by Russian agents maybe trying to interfere with the arrival of Volodymyr Zelensky's plane on Monday night.
Yes, absolutely. Story overnight, the colleagues in the Irish Times breaking that. And the Navy and the Air Corps were across it. They had the right to shoot them out of the sky. However, in the vicinity, in the Irish Sea, off the coast of Dublin, that's a pretty tricky thing to do because danger of loss of life elsewhere, as once you fire these missiles, well, they don't just, you know, stay where they are, they travel on. So the danger of hurting or killing people or indeed doing serious damage to property was very real. But it did, the visit was very good. It did remind us Vladimir Zelensky spoke very sincerely and very strongly, and it was very clear that minnows though we may be in the international military world, he still had great interest in Irish support for all sorts of practical reasons. The refugees who have come here, the war refugees from Ukraine, Irish support for Ukraine pushing its case for European Union membership, among other things. But it does, and especially in the light of that story, which is broken overnight, put the focus back on Ireland's defence issues and debating issues like military neutrality and so on. There is no reason why we have to do away with military neutrality. But we have to have a much more honest approach to it. And we're reminded again of the serious deficiencies. The true neutrals, Switzerland and up to recently Finland and Sweden and others, spent vast amounts of money on defence to defend themselves. And we need to do that. And we need, just take a simple instance. We now have 8 boats. I'm old enough to remember the Cliona, the Maeve and the Mocha, these elderly ex-British Navy corvettes. One of them just went. So we had the Maeve and the Mocha. And then frequently, neither of them could put to sea for various reasons. Now we have 8 vessels. But frequently we can only come up with crews to put 2 of those to sea. Now that absolutely has to change. And
so how does that happen then, John, politically? Like the debate playing out in relation to this, evidenced again by Richard Boyd Barrett and People for Profit, they stood but they didn't clap Zelensky. Now he was interviewed on RTÉ during the week and really... He struggled to answer the basic question. Of course, they're totally against what they see as militarism. They blame Europe and NATO kind of as much as they blame Russia, really, in terms of what's gone on. They totally condemn Russia. They call it an imperialist aggressor. But they also accuse the EU and the US of imperialism. But he struggled to explain how does an independent country protect its sovereignty when faced by an aggressor, in terms of trying to defend that without using the military and getting support from other countries?
Yes, this is the point. It is a matter of great sadness that the greatest peace mission, the most successful peace mission in the history of the last century, the European Union, which was set up to, entirely to promote peace and to interlock France and Germany and make sure we did not have a fourth bloody conflict spilling out all over the place. And that what was done, you know, with tremendous success. It is a matter of great personal sadness to see that mission now morph into, at very least, a defence alliance with a very, very strong military, you know, a flavour to it. But what do you do in a world of Putin's rampant aggression and Donald Trump's teetotal unreliability? You know, the two things which anchored world peace really were the poles of the old USSR and the USA. And we no longer have that. So, I mean, we just have to shift for ourselves. And it doesn't make sense, you know, running this kind of duffel-coated student peace, Nick, approach to life, because it's not realistic. How do you defend yourself, you know?
Yeah, key question.
But we have to have a debate. There is no reason why we need to abandon neutrality. We just have to be more honest about it. And we have to do deals with reliable neighbours with whom we cooperate on a whole variety of other fronts.
Yeah. John, we just did a piece in the programme about the GAA's demographic plan for the future, the existential crisis facing the organisation in both urban and rural Ireland. This week, the government, and it's linked to this, unveiled the infrastructure plan, the plan to sweep away the maddening delays in planning and departments and agencies moving at glacial pace when approving and developing projects. Seen as very ambitious in some quarters, and they already expect, as they would have, a legal challenge over it, but are they right to do it? How is this being received in Leinster House?
Yeah, well, I mean, there are a number of ironies attaching to all of this that everybody will agree that the lapses, the slowness of delivery, particularly on housing, and of course that is interlinked to water, roads, access, all sorts of other things. There are a number of ironies. I mean, we had an updated national plan last week, and now we have this report, which is actually very interesting. It's too easy to be cynical. Accelerating infrastructure report and action plan, and it took it borrowed from a whole wide range of very senior and accomplished officials across the services and senior politicians. It aims to streamline planning, to speed up procurement, and bring in fast-track laws for nationally significant projects, of course, and that means sort of trying to curb the right of going to the courts to try to stymie projects. Of course, the second irony, and that is, you go out to you bring in a law to try to restrict legal challenges, and what happens?
And the first thing, a legal challenge.
Bump of the bomb.
And,
there
and
you
an
are,
interesting
you know?
Point, John, was made by Simon Harris. He said, look, we often hear and always hear about the objections and why they're valid and why it has to be gone to the courts and decided upon. But actually, we never really hear about the public good that's being served by a project. And, you know, the judiciary are independent with good reason. But maybe is it time when a judge is deciding, and maybe they're hemmed in by the limits of the law and by precedent, but there's very little waiting, it seems to me, in any of these court decisions as to, well, hold on, we understand what you're saying there, but on the other hand, we're in a crisis here. The public goods needs to be factored in.
We need courts of common sense, but it strikes me, I mean, I don't think we should be firing environmental standards out the window, or indeed citizens' rights. What we really need is a swifter and more efficient way of processing those. Yeah. And yes, I think we do need courts of common sense in this situation.
Yeah. Okay, John, I want to bring you on to this item next. Have a little listen to this row in the Shannon. Sometimes you'll be forgiven for you know, thinking, is the Shannon still operating? But it was, and it got pretty testy this week.
It's 2-1. The vote is 2-1. They called it from the chair. 2-1. The door should be locked after 2-1.
You stood there for 2 minutes and continued it on.
No, sorry, hang on a minute. That was after the point.
And for the record, the acting chair said, we will now take account of the fact that you have raised this issue. And subsequent to that, eight members were allowed to enter the room. I think the record should state that.
Sorry, could the senators resume their seats so we can proceed to the vote? Please?
No, it's not okay. Because if that was opposition, we would be locked out of the room and not get into the vote. It often happens. It's not okay. No. It's not happening. It's not happening.
The door was just left purposely. It's not fair.
With respect,
it's not happening.
This is a danger that the last Cathaoirleach could be asked to stay outside of the door to extend the time indefinitely to allow government members to be gathered.
Yeah. No.
That is the implication.
Are you telling me that the standing order says that historically we have been locked out of this chamber and that is not supported by the standing orders?
Yeah. We're moving to... That's not what I said.
That in all those cases, the Cathaoirleach or last Cathaoirleach had the discretion...
Yeah, there you go. That's Independent Senator Lynn Ruane and Alice Mary Higgins having a right go at the last Cathaoirleach. This is over a vote on amendments that Lynn Ruane had put before the defamation bill, which has been discussed in the chat. Allegations the door should have been locked. It wasn't locked. It was delayed to allow government coalition senators to get in and win the vote. Is there skullduggery going on here in the Shannon?
That is what the independent senators and opposition senators are alleging. The woman in the chair, the deputy chairperson of the Senate, that's Maria Burnett, actually from Limerick City. She originally elected as a Fine Gael senator. The claim is that if there were opposition senators outside, those doors would have been locked as per regulation. On this occasion, the claim is there was a bit of deliberate sloppiness to be neutral for the government side, so to speak. A procedural row, but something far more which attracted attention. There's something very important that's happening. The upper house, Shannadairn, is dealing with the most comprehensive changes in defamation, libel, and all of that that we have had in a long time. The debate sporadically has been going on since July. There have been claims that there is filibustering, as to say, deliberate delay. There's a kind of face-off between between the barristerocracy, so to speak, Jim O'Callaghan,
which is very powerful, I might add, John.
Indeed, absolutely. they're the only ones who saw off the troika, who kept during the bad days. They kept saying, "Listen here, your legal fees are completely off the page," and they are. The average citizen has a few rights of access because the sheer costs are outrageous. And by the way, this is something that hasn't heavily featured in the discussions which have been going on, as I say, sporadically. There are a number of core issues. Michael McDowell, former Attorney General, former Minister for Justice, is basically kind of in to some degree in a face-off against another barrister, the Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, who's sponsoring this legislation. In fairness to Jim O'Callaghan, he had a point of view which was very law library driven. A key issue is whether or not to get rid of juries in libel claims. And we have seen that the argument is that juries are not competent to assess awards. And so it goes. The law library, the lawyers are very keen to defend the continuance of jury, because they say it's central to our system. Meanwhile, there are several other key issues. I think we need other dispute resolution mechanisms apart from the law courts in cases like this.
Interesting, John. Sorry, go on.
Yeah. No, it is an interesting. It is, the row was kind of procedural and a bit arcane, which would elude the ordinary person. But it did serve to highlight something very important that is going on.
Yeah, that is going on indeed.
The opposition senators have reservations about various provisions of this. It's a pretty hefty piece of legislation.
Yeah, more to run on this one. John, we're out of time, but thanks a million for talking to us about the Dáil week. We'll have more with you next week.